was explained in those two chapters in a descriptive form that Parikshit Maharaj was able to understand the history behind it. So Lord Brahma was, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned to Parikshit Maharaj that Lord Brahma glorified, Lord Brahma was actually Krishna himself expanded into that form. So when Krishna's from navel, that lotus flower came in, and in that Lord Brahma appeared. That after appearance of Lord Brahma, when he looked around, he couldn't see anything. All he could see was water everywhere, nothing else. And in that condition, Lord Brahma could not understand the purpose of his presence there, or he could neither understand what he was meant to do. But Brahma is Krishna. Krishna has expanded himself as Brahma. It is Brahma is also incarnation of Krishna. And this Lord Brahma, from that point, Lord Brahma wanted to know what was the purpose of him being created, or who he is, who am I, where have I come from, what is my position. He looked around so much that he couldn't find anything except water. And that is why Lord Brahma was situated in the middle of this lotus flower. So, in that condition, while looking around, he had these four heads were born for Lord Brahma. In four directions he looked, and he had the four heads born for Lord Brahma. But he still couldn't find anything. And it was in that condition he has wanted to understand who he is himself. So he performed, when he was in that situation, suddenly from the sky he heard these two words which were spoken, Tapa and Tapa. Tapa Tapa, that was the two words which were spoken. Divyam Sahasrabdham Amogha Darshanam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is says like that. That performs penances, perform penances. This is what it meant, Tapa Tapa. That was the instruction from the sky to Lord Brahma. So Brahmaji understood, Lord Brahma understood that what is expected of him, that instead of searching for everywhere what he is, rather he should sit there and perform his penances. So he started thinking and completely penances he started performing. Divyam Sahasrabdham Amogha Darshanam, that it is thousands of demigod years that he has performed this austerities there in that lotus flower where Brahma was situated. So while Brahma was in that condition, it took thousands of years, which means that our 6 months is a day for the demigods, and our 6 months is one night for the demigods. So in other words, our 1 year is one day for them. So similarly, if you calculate 365 days of demigod days makes 1 year for them. And thousands of years like that, Brahma has performed those penances to understand his own position, what he is. This is Brahma has done. So eventually, at the end of that long period of time of penances, Brahma eventually found that he has reached in the Vaikuntha planet. That is where he arrived. So Brahma realized that he is in the Vaikuntha planet, where he was able to meet Lord Narayan there, who was actually situated there. And Lord Brahma was received. Lord Brahma reached the Vaikuntha planet. So when the Supreme Lord saw him, that he instructed Brahma to continue begin the process of creation. That is how Brahma was instructed by the Supreme Lord to begin the process of creation. And to do that, Lord Narayan took Brahma's hands and shook the hands. So while shaking the hands, the Sarga Shakti or creative potency actually was transferred from the Supreme Lord's hand to Brahma's hand, and Brahma got the creative power or the power to create the living, the whole material world. So this is how the process of creation begins. And Brahma, when he was given this instruction to start the process of creation, he continued that activity, but he had a lot of doubts to ask to Krishna before he started this creation. So his doubts were this, that if I create all these living entities, if I start this process of creation, and if all these living entities are born, then all these living entities will be my children, will they not? This was the question Brahma asked Krishna. First question he put forward to the Lord, that will they not be my children? Krishna said, yes, they will be your children. So does that mean that if these children, when they grow up, it is like the concern of Brahma is our Lord, Supreme Father, as He is the actually creator in that sense, that He has compassion for us also. So when He thought that, if these my children are going to suffer in this life, after they are created, they will come to this world according to their karma vasana. In other words, according to their propensities and their karma, they have to accept different bodies. They will take those different bodies. But all that is going to happen is that they will be constantly in trouble with their life. And will that not affect me? This was the Brahma's question to Krishna. So when this question was put forward, Krishna answered him that whatever you have created, they will be your children. And if they suffer, you will also have to suffer. There is no doubt about it. This is how Brahma was given the advice by the Supreme Lord. But Krishna gave these instructions to Brahma that if you create and if you have the children born and those children, if they are suffer, you will also suffer along with them. That's natural, isn't it? So in the same way, Brahma was also given this word by Krishna that he will also have to suffer. So if that is the case, what's the point in continuing this creation? This was Brahma's question. Brahma's question, if that is there, if I have to suffer, then why should I continue this? Ultimately, it's all, Brahma is not stupid. Brahma is an intelligent person that he was able to think like this. And he was able to ask this question to Krishna that you are asking me to do all these things. Okay, start the creation and giving me all the ability to do that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to suffer out of it. What's the point in doing it? So this was Brahma's doubt in his mind. Krishna said to Brahma at that point, all right, I will give you some protection, but if you utilize it, you can come out of that without being affected by it. And that is how Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And Srimad Bhagavatam is just like this, that example is given like that. When we cannot touch certain things, we put gloves on in the hand, isn't it? And we continue with our work. Sometimes some chemicals, if we have to touch, we can't touch it. So at that time, we put gloves on the hand and then we touch it with that. So similarly, Brahma was given Srimad Bhagavatam just like these gloves. Krishna said to Brahma, take the Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and continue creation. And Srimad Bhagavatam will protect you from any problems that can happen. This is how Krishna has instructed Brahma. So, but then the problem came that this Brahma was saying that this creation process, which is virtually in our case, it is householder life, isn't it? Householder life means the process of creation for the living entity. Srimad Bhagavatam and householder life won't go together side by side. That will not work. So Brahma also had the same problem when he was told that you should start creation and you should study Srimad Bhagavatam also together with that, along with that. Brahma said that's also not going to work. Because it is never in the history it has happened that either the householder life will not go properly or studying Srimad Bhagavatam will not go properly or neither of them will go happily. So this is the problem that Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam and practicing Srimad Bhagavatam in one's life and executing householder life along with that is not easy, it's not possible. And Brahma sensed that immediately and mentioned that straight away to Krishna. That how can I do that? This process of creation, one side, and the other side studying Srimad Bhagavatam and trying spiritual life. And we can see that what happens at the end. Either Srimad Bhagavatam will win or householder life will win. Or we will miss both of them. So this is what happens to most of the people. So anyway, Brahma was given this understanding by Krishna. That just like, although Bhagavatam was given as a protective cover, like a gloves, for Brahma to create. Just like sometimes, people who are very familiar with it will know. When you cut the jackfruit, inside the jackfruit there is a sticky stuff. And normally women, when they cut this vegetable in the kitchen, they'll put some oil in their hand before they further cut that vegetable because they know that it will stick. So if you put the oil on the hand, you can protect yourself from getting affected by that sticky thing in the jackfruit. So similarly, there are so many other vegetables also where you have similar problems. So something similar to that, Brahma was given Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna said to Brahma, take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and continue creation, you will be alright. But Brahma again got this doubt that Srimad Bhagavatam and this creation business, will it work together? This doubt came to him. So immediately Brahma said to Krishna, it is not possible for me to do that. He said, I don't think it will work for me because Bhagavatam is so valuable thing. If I take to Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't think I can continue creation. Or if you tell me that I should only cut process of creation, I should continue, then I may have to give up Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna said to him, don't worry about it. I will give you another solution to that problem. So in that point, Krishna gave Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma in four verses. And these four verses is actually the seed of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from these four verses, it is these four verses how Krishna has given Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma. We saw earlier, Brahma gave to Srinarada Maharshi Bhagavatam in three chapters, little bit more expanded. But Brahma received Srimad Bhagavatam from Krishna in four verses. And that is known in the Bhagavatam as Chadishlogi Bhagavatam. Or these four verses is the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very, very complex verses. And it is very, very difficult to understand also. And great, great devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna has expanded these verses for our understanding. And still, it is some of the most difficult verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Chadishlogi Bhagavatam, only probably Brahma could understand that, not for living entities like us. But Brahma was able to understand. But there also there is an interesting thing. Brahma has four heads. We have only one head, but Brahma has four heads. So normally, if you have to chant all the four verses, it takes, if you say about 12 seconds per verse, it takes 48 seconds for us. But for Lord Brahma, because he has got four heads, he can chant all the four verses at the same time, and with the result that it only takes him 12 seconds to chant the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Brahma's great benefit, what he has received from Krishna. So Krishna told him, take this Chadishlogi Bhagavatam, the four verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and with the help of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can continue the process of creation. That is how the Srimad Bhagavatam came to Lord Brahma from Krishna, and that Bhagavatam Brahma always resides in this process of creation. But at the same time, in the Vedavyasa Maharshi also kept a message for the householders of this world. That householders are generally in the Lord Brahma situation in this world. Normally they are in the process of creation and they also have a similar situation always encountering in this world, because just like Lord Brahma has caught up in this situation, the householders also. So the Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, take Srimad Bhagavatam before entering into householder life. Householder life will not destroy you. Otherwise, if you give up Srimad Bhagavatam and get into householder life without understanding what Bhagavatam says, then there is a chance that you will not come out of it again. So this was the message Vedavyasa Maharshi through Lord Brahma was giving us, that to the message to the householders, that before entering into householder life, take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and study Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you have completely understood or completely assimilated Srimad Bhagavatam, then get into householder life. Householder life will not destroy you. Householder will not disturb you. So this message Vedavyasa Maharshi kept through this Chadushlogi Bhagavatam and the story of Lord Brahma to the householders of this world. So that is how the ninth chapter finishes there. And when these verses were spoken, this Chadushlogi Bhagavatam or the four seed verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam were spoken. And it is a very, very highly philosophical verses. And sometimes it is very difficult to present it also. It is so difficult to present it also because of the complexities of the explanations in the explanations of it. And even great, great acharyas, they are even puzzled by these four verses that Krishna managed to pack up so much spiritual knowledge into it. Ahameva samevagri nanyadil sadasalparam. Then Krishna says that a living entity in this world, from the very beginning, has to understand that at the time of creation, before the process of creation, it's only Krishna who existed. It is something very difficult to understand from our tiny brain, that we cannot perceive this, that in the beginning there was only Krishna. And in the end, after the whole thing is dissolution happens, or the final devastation happens in this world, ultimately what remains is only Krishna. So Krishna exists in the beginning and Krishna exists at the end. And in between all this, first what we see in this world happens. We come here and we go through so much of experiences, our own experiences, we give great importance to it and we consider that our experience is very, very valuable. But from the, if you go through these four verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying there certain fundamental things, fundamental in the sense that a personality who has, or the living entity who has accepted Krishna's instructions are absolute, can understand that it's a completely different dimension to the spiritual life and to the material world as well. So the living entity can see there, aham eva sameva agre, before beginning of creation, before the beginning of all these things what we experience in this material world, it was only Krishna who existed. And after all the devastation that happens and all the process of creation and everything and so much of interaction of the modes of material nature, material elements, so many things what comes in and goes out a time and again, these are all actually the, from the very beginning, after the process of creation begins, Maya comes in there. And it is in the Maya's world that all these functions are happening, what we experience is here. And in the end, who exists? Only Krishna exists. Everything else between is continuously changing. So from there, you can understand what Maya is. Maya means actually anything that takes birth, grows for some time, start producing its byproducts, start dwindling and eventually decaying and death. So anything in this material world which goes through the six different phases of transformation from one to another, which takes birth, grows for some time, eventually start producing byproducts and start decaying and eventually death, which experiences this what is known as the different transformations of that product that is considered to be Maya's potency, Maya's creation. And that is how it is. And none of them has any, this is all things what has been created from Maya, from the living entity has created. So this particular understanding is necessary. Why? Because normally if you ask an ordinary person in this world, he will answer, a person who is not spiritually immoral or who is not concerned about spiritual life, his understanding generally will be, I am temporary. I am temporary, but this material world is permanent. This is how we understand, because we come here at some point in time, we live here for some time in this world and we disappear from this world. This is our position. We don't have also a permanent existence here. So we take it that we have a temporary existence, whereas this material world seems to exist here forever. That's the way we perceive it in this short time. So generally, the perception among the living entity is that we are temporary and this material world or this planet Earth is permanent here. This is how we understand. But Shastra says exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite Shastra is telling you. Shastra is saying, Bhagavatam is saying to us, you are eternal, we are forever. This material world has no permanent existence, it's temporary. And this opposite view or this opposite understanding has the influence of Maya. So this is how we understand Maya's potency. Maya has strongly put this concept in our mind that we are temporary, material world is permanent. On the other hand, Maya is telling, because of the spiritual understanding, Krishna is telling us, from the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, that we are eternal and this material world is temporary. Just see the difference, the opposing understanding. And this nature of Maya, to create this deluding nature in us, is there in all activities in this world. Anything you touch, you will find this special nature of Maya working against us. And it is inside this Maya that we are struggling along with our intelligence, mind and imperfect senses, trying to acquire some spiritual knowledge. So you can just imagine how much a struggle it is for the conditioned soul caught up in this material world in all sorts of complexities and completely perplexed and baffled with everything, that trying to escape out of it and trying to understand spiritual life and understand the spiritual reality of this world. That Maya's energy, Krishna's energy is known as Maya. This Maya keeps us this strong understanding by the very fact that we think that we are a temporary thing, and that's our understanding, that I come here, I die and go, then what's it? What else is there to happen? And this material world is always there, you can come back again here and enjoy, but it's not so. That the Bhagavatam says that this material world has come actually, material elements have been created by Krishna. So this primary process of creation, which is known as Sargam, has come from Krishna. Sargam means that property or that process of creation by Krishna, whereby Krishna has created the basic ingredients. In other words, Krishna has created the five material elements. For example, we can't do anything very much about it. Krishna has to give that primary material elements. Krishna creates a pine tree. What we can do? We can take the cut the pine tree and make furniture, beds and tables, chairs, everything. We can make out of it. But we can't create the pine tree. That pine tree Krishna has to create. So you can see there that the first creation is Krishna. And it is from Krishna's creation that we do the secondary creation, what is known as Visargam. So Sargam is the primary creation which Krishna has created, and Visargam is the secondary creation what we have created. So similarly, if you take anything else, it is the same thing. For example, firstly somebody has created, then we from us, so many other bodily expansions comes out, father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, all these different expansions comes out of us. But original creation is Krishna's creation. So if you analyze it, everything, you will notice there that behind this Maya's energy, Maya has got two different potencies in here. These two different potencies are known in the Shastra as Avaranam and Vikshepam. In other words, Avaranam is known as the covering potency in English, and in the Vikshepam is known as the deluding potency. So why is it called like that? For example, if you have how much Maya has tricked us from the very beginning, you can see that Maya has kept us very tightly under her grips, that you will never be able to come out of it and to understand something beyond our senses, beyond our mind, beyond our intelligence. That is why it is necessary to receive the spiritual knowledge from Krishna only. Not with our help we can manufacture any knowledge. It is not possible. Because why? From the very fact that we have been told from the very beginning that you are temporary, I am permanent. This is how Maya presents this material world to us. So everybody who comes here, at least for the rest of the life, he thinks that I am temporarily here, but I'll be going. But this world will be here, I can come back. But it's not so. That Maya's words are that we are eternal. Why? But then why are we not feeling that? Why we are not feeling that we are eternal? Why? Because the reason for that is we have forgotten our real identity as spirit soul. So you can just see Atma Vismriti. It is known as Atma Vismriti. Atma Vismriti means forgetting the self, what we are. So in these four verses of Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken to Lord Brahma about our true identity, what we are. But we are not able to achieve that consciousness at any cost. But the truth is there, that you can't deny them. It is Krishna's words. The truth is like that. So that is why it makes it more interesting that these four verses is telling us what we are actually. Ahameva sameva agrem. That before anything else, only Krishna has existed. And because Krishna has existed, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we also existed. We also existed along with Krishna. Krishna has, from a very time in Mai Vamsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanadana, Manashashta Nindriyani, Prakritistani Garshadi. That in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, that living entity is with me all the time. They have been there from the very beginning. And they will be there at the end also. Manashashta Nindriyani. But then what is happening in between? By his senses and the mind, he is interacting with the modes of nature and is struggling. Prakritistani Garshadi. Then all what's happening is the living entity is busy with the matter in all his existence in this world. But if we accept Krishna's words as true, then we can see that our understanding is false, that we have falsely understood that the matter is permanent and we as temporary. So somehow or the other, we have forgotten our spiritual identity as Atma or the spirit soul, and we have fallen down into the condition of due to the association with the matter. So we have lost that identity of the spirit soul. So when we get back into that condition again, automatically we will forget this, our association with the matter. At the moment, our association with the matter is so strong that we are not able to understand that there is a spiritual existence for the living entity. Even that understanding itself is not coming to us. What to talk of understanding what it is. We can't even understand that such a stage exists in life. To such an extent, we have been deluded by Maya. So this Maya's influence is known in the Shastra as Avaranam and Vikshepam. Or in other words, covering potency and the deluding potency. For example, all these things can be explained only through examples. Because If to explain that in words is very, very difficult, but it's easier to understand it through some examples. Just like if you find in the darkness a rope, it is possible that you could misunderstand it as a snake. It is possible that you will think of a rope as a snake. So at that point, one has to understand it. One can understand it like this, that the senses have given him a false information. He has misunderstood the rope as snake. That is his one understanding. And second understanding is that he has misunderstood it as snake. That means he has shown that something else as its original form. In other words, originally it is a rope, but he has taken it as a snake. So its true form, original form, was covered by the covering potency. And a false form was given to the living entity by the deluding potency. So covering potency and deluding potency has acted together to confuse this sense, the person who has seen that rope as a snake. So similarly, so many things in this material world, we misunderstand our true identity and we interact with this material world and we get into all sorts of difficulties. So what it says, Krishna says there is that similarly, anvayam vidirekabhyam yada sarvatra sarvada. That is how Krishna finishes that instructions only in the Chalashlogi Bhagavatam. Anvayam and vidirekam means what? Anvayam means that the spirit soul, I was discussing this before, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, the three states of existence, the spirit soul is passing through. When it is passing through these three states of existence, what happens to the soul? The soul is always aware that I am in the awakened state, I am in the dream state, I am in the sleeping state. In these three states, the soul has this perception that he is different from the body. So that perception is very strong in us. We see it like that even while in the awakened state, I always think, or every one of us thinks, that the body is there and I am there inside. So that means, in other words, me and the body, that separate existence, do come to our realizations. In other words, that differentiation between the soul and the body exists there. When even if you come to the dream state, you still experience the same thing, but in a different form. That you come, the self is still witnessing everything. The soul is witnessing all the dreams. But at the same time, the living entity is experiencing the dream world, what it creates and what it throws at us. We have to experience that in the dream state. And similarly, if you go into the deep sleep also, Sushupti state, the self is actually in a condition where it is not experiencing any of the lower modes of, any of the modes of nature. On the other hand, all the bodily activities in the mind and the senses have become totally inert. And the only thing that's happening is the living entity is completely engaged in the Sushupti or deep sleep state. Still, the living entity is separate from the state of existence. So these three states of existence, it is known as when the Atma or the spirit soul and the body is separately existing and the spirit soul is aware of the activities of the body, it is known as the Anvayam state. And the Vedirega means, the opposite one is that when it comes out of these three states of existence, soul goes further from that and it comes to the realized state where material body is no more a consideration, or material body is not anymore a factor in the calculation. At that point, when he is totally situated on the spiritual platform, when he is completely identified himself as the spirit soul, and it is that condition what is known as vidrekam. So anvaya vidrekabhyam yada sarvatra sarvada. In the Bhagavatam it says here that these are the two levels of existence, what happens to the living entity. Now, this whole thing has been expanded by great devotee scholars to such levels to understand for the ordinary people, and one could get on reading all these from different commentators so that somehow this condensed Chatushloki Bhagavatam can be understood by the living entity, because this is the three verses. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately trying to take us to, that all the study of Srimad Bhagavatam is only come to this understanding that, but we are not able to stay in that consciousness all the time. Why? Because although we theoretically understand, our consciousness is not able to catch up with that. So this is the problem. So somehow or the other, when by the mercy of Krishna, one comes to that understanding, then he is in the liberated state. This is the definition of liberation. Mukti kyadanyadharupam surubena vyavasthiti. that when one comes to the spiritual platform and one is situated in the spiritual platform, then he is mukti, then it is liberation for that personality. So like this, Srimad Bhagavatam in that 8th chapter of the 2nd canto talks about the Charashlogi Bhagavatam, and it is at the end of that that Lord Brahma was given this knowledge to, who was given this knowledge, Charashlogi Bhagavatam, and it is spoken there, and at the end that the process of creation has happened. So when it was given to Sri Narada Muni, this Narada Muni was given this Bhagavatam by Lord Brahma, that he handed that over to Vedavyasa Maharshi. When he handed it over, it had 10 different features in that. That is what it says in the next chapter. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manvandaram ishanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. This is how Bhagavatam came into existence through Vedavyasa Maharshi. When Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he took this message from Srinarada Maharshi who gave it to him, and he expanded that, and when he expanded that, it has got 10 different features. 10 different features. Sargam, visargam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam uti manvandaram ishanukatha nirodham mukti ashayam. So, like that. These 10 different features came to that. So, it is there that, so that is why we say generally that it is on the 3rd canto actually Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Because Srimad Bhagavatam actually, this potency of known as a Sargam. Sargam means the primary creation of Krishna. Krishna's primary creation. In other words, all that you will find in the 3rd canto, all the stories are where Krishna is a part of the whole process. And that is why it is known as Sargam. And Visargam means exactly opposite, where Krishna is not a part of it. It's all done by the living entity, or the kings and the other great personalities of this world. And you will also notice something interesting there. The whole 3rd canto goes very peacefully. Every story in the 3rd canto, if you read, you will find there that everything has got a happy ending. Or in other words, people who were involved in all the incidents mentioned in the 3rd canto, they all had Krishna consciousness as the prime factor. Like Kardama Prajavati, Devahuti Devi. Every one of them, all the stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto is full of Vidura's story, Uddhava's story. All of them is particularly referring to that. But if you look into the 4th canto, you will find exactly opposite. That 4th canto, lot of the correct personalities there, they have actually acted in a way which was not proper. Why? Because they didn't want Krishna to be involved in their life. They wanted to keep Krishna out of it. And that is what it is trying to show. The 3rd canto is trying to tell us that without Krishna, nothing is possible. 4th canto is telling us, if you keep Krishna out of it, what is going to happen? That's why the story of Suruchi, Dhruva Maharaj's story, you find the personality Suruchi, how she had to eventually commit suicide, jump into the fire and kill herself. The story of beginning with Suraj's Daksha, King Daksha's story. What happened to Daksha? Daksha was such a great personality. He had a seat along with all the Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva in the sacrifice. And eventually he was killed by the agents of Lord Shiva by twisting his head. They took it out because killing by weapon is not allowed in the sacrifice scene. So he was killed by twisting his head, he was twisted and taken out, his life was taken out. So all these personalities in the 4th canto, you will notice that they rejected Krishna and they wanted to have their own ideas in the process of creation. So Sargam and Visargam, the 3rd canto and the 4th canto. But 1st canto and 2nd canto basically talks about what we have spoken of before, that the 1st canto talks about who is actually qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what is presenting that. That the person like Parikshit Maharaj, or who has come to the realization that death is waiting at the doorstep to take away one's life, it is that person who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Or in other words, every one of us who know very well that death can approach us anytime and take us away from this world, it is that person who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is for their benefit that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And in the 1st canto, that is the topic of discussion. Who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam? And it also says about the process of who should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So ideally, A personality like Parikshit Maharaj, who had that degree of renunciation from material life, and a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, who had that the highest degree of renunciation and highest degree of knowledge of the and Krishna consciousness, such a person should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So these two personalities, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, actually represent the best speaker and the best listener. So that is the first canto is presenting to us. And then there is also two more categories of personalities mentioned there. One is between the Srinarayana Maharshi and Vedavyasa Muni, and then Suda Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi. So what is the difference between these three? That is also interesting to think about. Why is that? Vedavyasa Maharshi and Srinarayana Muni, they are also sages, such saintly people. Even they are not given the same position as Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So this is something very important, because if you look at Suda Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi, the way Bhagavatam was spoken by Suda Goswami and the way Shaunaka Rishi listened to Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice something very interesting. That is, Suda Goswami came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages in Namisharanyam. Shaunaka Rishi said to Suda Goswami that, "Nice that you have come. We will start Srimad Bhagavatam, would like to hear." It was in a sort of a more of a casual way, rather than Parikshit Maharaj's mind, which was burning with a desire to hear about Krishna. That burning desire was not there in the mind of Shaunaka Rishi or the sages who were present in the Naimisharanyam. And because that degree of difference between the sages and Parikshit Maharaj, they are not considered to be on a topmost platform like Parikshit Maharaj and Sudeva Goswami. So on the lowest platform, they keep Shaunaka Rishi and Suda Goswami. On the highest platform, they keep Parikshit Maharaj and Sudeva Goswami. So they are on a higher platform, and Shaunaka Rishi and Suda Goswami on a lower platform. Now, why is that? Where does Narada Muni and Vedavyas comes in there? That's also interesting, because after all, Srinarayana Maharshi got Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma, and Brahma from Narada Muni has handed it over to Vedavyasa Maharshi. And Vedavyasa Maharshi was also wrote Srimad Bhagavatam and handed it over to Sukadeva Goswami. But there is a difference there also. The difference is that when Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to write Srimad Bhagavatam, he was feeling depressed. But he was also feeling depressed thinking about the people who are going to come in Kali Yuga and how they are going to suffer. Thinking about them, that means, in other words, it is the distress of other people that was causing distress to Vedavyas. Parikshit Maharaj's case, it was his own distress what was actually demanding that he must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see the difference there. When it comes to others' distress making you to think, feeling, getting distressed, it's different than you feeling yourself distressed in your condition. So in Parikshit's case, he was much more burning heart, or burning desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, as a listener is concerned, Parikshit is a higher position than even his own father. Parikshit is higher position than even Vedavyasa Maharshi. That is how it's mentioned. Now, as far as speaker is concerned, Srinarada Maharshi came to talk to Vedavyasa Maharshi Srimad Bhagavatam. That we know, in a distressed state, when Vedavyasa was praying to Krishna to show him the way to come out of this predicament that he was in, that is when Srinarada Muni came and told Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi. But here you will find, when Srinarada Maharshi came and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa, now and then Narada Muni went away and came back and again checked whether Vedavyasa Maharshi is doing it okay or not. That we know in the Bhagavatam, we find that. But Sukadeva Goswami did not come like the way Narada Muni came to Vedavyasa. Sukadeva Goswami's arrival on the scene, as we saw in the end of first canto, was such that here is a candidate who is qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. This was very clear in Sukadeva Goswami's head. Here is a candidate, who is that? Parikshit Maharaj, sitting there, ready to receive this. So, when you give Srimad Bhagavatam to somebody, it should be a person who is also qualified to receive that Srimad Bhagavatam from that personality who gave, like Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is not a person who will go anywhere and everywhere and distribute Srimad Bhagavatam freely. Unless he knows that the person who receives Srimad Bhagavatam is spiritually qualified to receive that knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, he would not have done that. But when he came, and the way he came, and the way he left, also indicates that his only intention was how to give spirit, how to give that ultimate knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj, to talk about Krishna at the time of leaving the body. He did that work, he did that business, and he left immediately from the scene. Although others were looking for Sudev Goswami, but Sudev Goswami was not there. So that is Sudev Goswami, a personality who wanted to take Parikshit Maharaj out of that conditioned state and from his anxiety, and to release him from this material world. And that job he did, and as a great devotee of the Supreme Lord, Sudev Goswami handed that over to Parikshit Maharaj and left the scene. So you can see from these three categories of the speakers and the listener, where Sudev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is on the topmost platform. And this is what is mentioned in the first canto. In the second canto, basically what mentions about this is the karma, or the living entities, material activities, and the entanglement, karma upasana, and those things are mentioned in the second canto. So with that, the second canto finishes. And generally these three chapters in the second canto is only talking about the karma. Karma upasana is the most important thing. Then the living entity, when it comes to this material world, he has no idea what he has to do here. And then he comes here and then he makes his own ideas and plans in this world. And he gets influenced by all the people whom he associates with. They give him some ideas. Somebody tells him that you have to make a lot of money in this world, otherwise you'll never be happy. So he starts working for like an ass from beginning to end with so many different ideas by conning people or whatever way one can do. One does all that, eventually with the hope that he will become happy. This is our life, is it not? Every one of us, if we think our life in reality, it's not much different than that. That most of us are doing so many things in this world without properly knowing what is it, with the hope that one day we will all become happy. This is the hope behind it. But hope is always a hope. It is hoping against the hope. But it goes on like that. So anyway, that is the way the second canto is actually talking about it. That the living entity's unfortunate condition in this material world, where he hasn't got a clue which direction to turn. So when you do not know which direction to turn, you turn in all directions, isn't it? So that's what's happening to all of us. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto is trying to give some guidance and some direction to the living entity to follow, so that he understands what is karma, what is the karmic reactions coming out of it, and how a living entity should take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously before continuing with his activities in this material world. So I'll just read those three chapters and then talk. Rajavajam Brahmanachodiyo Brahman Gunakhyane Gunasya Yasmai Yasmai Yadapraha Narado Devadarshanaha Yadadvedavichami Tattum Vedavidam Vara Hare Albhudavidyasya Katha Lokasumangalaha Katha Yasu Mahabhaga Yadahamakhilalmani Krishne Niveshani Sangam Manasthyakshini Kalevaram Shrunvada Shraddhaya Nityam Ganadascha Swajeshtiram Karena Nadidirghena Bhagavan Vishade Hridi Pravishtakam Narendraena Swanam Bhavasaro Ruham Vinodishamalam Krishna Salilasetha Shal Daudharma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunjali Mukta Sarva Variklesha Panthaswa Sharanam Yatha Yatha Dadumadho Brahman Deharam Bhosyatha Dubi Yadurchaya Hedunava Bhavando Janade Yatha Asidyudaral Parpam Yoga Samsthana Akshanam Yavanayam Vai Purusham Yattaya Vai Pudhak Tavana Savidi Proktam Samstha Avayavanivam Ajasrajati Bhudani Bhudalmaya Nugrahal Dadrasheyena Dadrubam Nabi Valtmasamul Bhavaham Sajabi Yatra Purusho Vishwastitul Bhavapaya Muktualtma Maya Mahesha Shede Sarvaguhashayaha Purushavayavair Loga Sabala Bhupakalpida Logayamushyavayava Sabaleri Dishishruma Yavan kalpo vikalpo vayadha kalo numiyade udambabhivavachabdham ayomanam jayal sadaha kalasya anugadiryado yakshareni brahatyabhi yavatya karmagadayo yadrashir dujasattama yasmin karma samavayo yadhayeno bagrihyade unanam guninam jayva parinamam abhip sadam bhubadalaya kudnyomam gahanakshatra vubhradam saril samudra divanam samhavascheta logasam ప్రమాణమండగోణస్య బాహ్యాభ్యంతరమేకద మహదాంశానుచరితం వర్ణాశ్రమవినిశ్చయాః యుగానియుగమానం చ ధర్మో యస్య యుగే యుగే అవతారానుచరితం యదాశ్చర్యతమం హరే నృణాం సాధారణో ధర్మం సవిశేషశ్చ యాదృశ శ్రేణీనాం రాజర్షీణాం చ కర్మగోత్రేషు జీవనాం తత్వానాం పరిసంఖ్యానాం లక్షణం హేతులక్షణం పురుషారాధన విధి యోగసాధ్యాత్మికస్య యోగేశ్వరేశ్వరిగతిర్లింగభంగస్య యోగినాం వేదోపవేద ధర్మాణాం ఇతిహాస పురాణయోః సంభవ సర్వభూతానాం విక్రమ ప్రతిసంక్రమ ఇష్టాపూర్తస్య కామ్యానాం త్రివర్గస్య జయో విధి యశ్చానుషాయినాం సర్గ పాషండస్య చ సంభవ అల్పనోబంధమోక్షౌ చ వ్యవస్థానాం స్వరూపదాం యథాత్మతంద్రో భగవాన్ విక్రీడత్యాల్పమాయ విసర్జ్యవాయ ధామాయాం ఉదాస్తే సాక్షివద్విభో సర్వమేదచ్చ భగవత్ పృచ్ఛలే మేను పూర్వశ తత్వదోర్హస్యుదాహర్తం ప్రపన్నాయ మహాముని అత్ర ప్రమాణం హి భగవాన్ పరమేష్ఠే యథాత్మభూ పరేచేహానుతిష్టంతి పూర్వేషాం పూర్వజైకృతం మమే సేవ పరాయంతి బ్రహ్మన్ అనశనాదమి విభదోప్యచ్యుత పీయూషం అన్యత్ర కుమిదా ద్విజాల్ శ్రీ సూద ఉవాచ స ఉపామంత్రితో రాజ్ఞాం కథాయామిది సల్పదే బ్రహ్మరాధో వృషం ప్రియో విష్ణురాలేన సంసది ప్రాహ భాగవతం నామం పురాణం బ్రహ్మ సంహితం బ్రహ్మణే భగవత్ ప్రోక్తం బ్రహ్మకల్పము భాగవే యద్దల్పరేక్షి ఋషభం పాండూనామను పృచ్ఛది అనుపూర్వేణ తత్సర్వం ఆఖ్యాతముపచక్రమే ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే ద్వితీయస్కందే ప్రశ్నవిధిర్నామ అష్టమోధ్యాయాం శ్రీశుకవాచ ఆల్పమాయామృతే రాజన్ పరస్యానుభవాల్పన నఖడేతార్థ సంబంధం స్వప్నద్రష్టవివాంజస బహురూపమివాభాది మాయయా బహురూపయ యమమానోపనేష్వస్య మమాహమిది మన్యతే యర్హి వావమహిం నిస్వే పరస్మిన్ కాలమాయయోః రమేదగ్ర సమ్మోహం త్యక్తోదాస్తే తదోభయం ఆత్మతత్వ విశుద్ధ్యర్థం యదాహం భగవామృతం బ్రహ్మణే దర్శయన్ రూపం అవ్యలీకం వ్రదాదిదాః సమాధి దేవో జగదాంబరో గురు సుదేష్ణమాస్తాయ సృక్షయేక్షద తామ్నాధ్య గచ్ఛద్విషమాత్ర సమ్మదం ప్రబంధ నిర్మాణ విజయా భవేల్ స చిందయన్ అక్షరమేకదాంభం స్థిపాశనోద్యుర్గదిజం వజో విభు స్పర్శేషు యల్ షోడశమేకవింశం నిష్కించనానాం ఉపయద్ధనం విధూ నిశమ్య త్వద్వత్రుదక్షయా దిశో విలోక్యత్రాని వదశ్యమాన సుదేష్ణమాస్తాయ విమృశ్య తజ్జిదం తపస్యమాదిష్టం వాధదేమనాం దివ్యం సహస్రాబ్దమోఖదర్శనం జిదానిల్పావిజిలోభయేంద్రియ అదప్యదస్మాఖిలలోకలాభనం తపస్తవీయాం స్తపతాం సమాహితాః తస్మై సులోకం భగవాన్ సభాజిద సందర్శయామాస పరం మయల్పరం విభేద సంక్లేశ విమోహ సాధ్వసం సుదృష్టవద్భిర్విబుదైరభిష్టుదం ప్రవర్తతే యత్ర జస్తమస్తయో సత్వం జమిశ్రం న జగాల విక్రమ మయత్ర మాయా కిముదా పరే హరే అనుప్రదా యత్ర సురాసురార్చిదాః శ్యామావదాదాశతవత్ర లోచన విషంగవస్త్రాసురుజసుపేషస సర్వే చతుర్బాహ ఉన్మిషన్మణి ప్రవేగ నిష్కాభరణాస్సు వర్చసాః ప్రవాళ వైడూర్య మృణాళ వర్చస పరిస్ఫురల్ కుండల మౌలిమాలినాః రాజిష్ణ వీర్య పరిదో విరాజదే లసద్విమానావలిభిర్మహాత్మనం విద్యోదమాన ప్రమదోత్తమాద్యుభి సవిద్యుదబ్ధావలిభిర్యధానభాం శ్రీర్యత్ర రూపిణిరుగాయ పాదయో కరోదిమానం బహుదా విభూదివి ప్రయంగం శ్రుదాయా కుసుమాకరానుగే విగీయమాన ప్రియకర్మగాయతీ దదర్శ తత్రాఖిల సత్వదాంపతిం శ్రేయపదిం యజ్ఞపదిం జగల్పదిం సునందనంద ప్రబలార్హనాధివి స్వపార్షదం ముఖ్య పరిసేవిదం విభుం భృత్య ప్రసాదాభిముఖం దృగాసవం ప్రసన్న సారుణలోచనాననం కిరీడినం కుండలినం చతుర్భుజం పీతాంబరం వక్షసి లక్షితం శ్రియా అద్యర్హణీయాసనమాస్తిదం వరం వృతం చతుర్షోడశ పంచశక్తిభి యుక్తం భగై స్వైరితరత్రజాధ్రువై స్వ ఏవ ధామన్ రమమాణమీశ్వరం తద్దర్శనాహ్లాద పరిప్లుదాంధరు విషయత్తును ప్రేమర ప్రేమభరాశులోచన మనామపాదాంబుజమస్య విశ్వసు యల్పారహంస్యేన పదాదిగమ్యదే తం ప్రీయమాణం సముపస్థితం తదా ప్రజా విసర్గే నిజ శాసనార్హనం భవాషమీషస్మిత శోచిషా గిర ప్రియ ప్రియం ప్రీతమనా కరే స్పృశన్ శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచాం త్వయాహం దోషిత సమ్యక్ వేదగర్భసి సృక్షయ చిరం హృదయన తపసా దుస్తోష కురయోగినాం వరం వరే భద్రంబే వరేషం అభివాంఛితం బ్రహ్మన్ శయ పరిశ్రామ పుంసో మద్దర్శనావధి మనీషిరానుభావోయం మమ లోకావలోకనం యదువశ్రుతిరహసి చకర్త పరమం తవాం ప్రత్యాదిష్టం మయా తత్ర త్వయి కర్మ విమోహితే తవో మే హృదయం సాక్షాల్ ఆత్మాహం తపసోనఖ
Srijami tamasa evedam grasami tamasa apuna vibharmi tamasa avishyam iryam yidu sharam nava brahmo vacham bhagavan sarvabhudanam adhyaksho avastito guham vedahya pradirudhyena prajnanena cha vyoshinam tathavinatha manasya nathanathayana adhinam paravareya dharube janiyam peturubinam ithalpamaya yogena mana shakti pabamhidam virambam misajan grihnam vibradalpanam alpanam Kridasya moha sangalpam urnana abhiryathornudi yatata atadvishayam dehi manisham maimadhavam bhagavachikshiramaham karavanihadandrida ehamana prajasargam vadhyayam yadanugrihal yaval sakha sakhirivesharekrida prajavisargevi bhajami mojanam aviklavaste parikarmanisthilo mame samunnadhamado jamaninam shri bhagavanu vacham jnanam maramauhyam me yadvijnana samanyidam sarahasyam tadanganja ghanagadidam mayam Yavanaham Yadabhao Yadruba Gunagarmaga Tathaiva Dattva Vijnanam Astudiyam Adanugrahal Ahameva Asameva Agve Nanyadyal Sarasalparam Paschadaham Yadedacha Yavashishyeda Sosmiham Hridayartam Yal Pradiyeda Na Pradiyeda Chalpani Tad Vidyad Alpano Mayam Yadabhaso Yadatamam Yadamahadvi Bodhani Bodhishu Chavajeshanu Pravishtanya Pravishtani Tathateshuna Deshwaham Eda avareva jitnyasyam tattva jitnyasuna atmana anvayavyadrekabhyam yalsyal sarvatra sarvadam edanmadam samadhishta paramena samadhina bhavan kalpavikalpeshu namimuhyati garhijil Shri Shukavacham sampradishaiva manas ajano jananam parameshtiyam pashyadastasya dadruvam atmano arunadhari andarhirendriyarthaya hare vihidanjani sarvabhudamayo vishvam sasarjedam sapurvaval Prajapatir dharmavadirekadane manyaman badran prajanam anvichan adishtayul swarthayam yaya tam narada prenamo rikthadanam anubrada shishrushamana shiyena prashrayena damena cham mayam vividushan vishno maye sasya mahamuni mahabhagavado rajan pidaram paridoshayal pushtam nishamya vidaram loganam pravidamaham devarshi parivapracha bhavan yanmanu prachari Tasma idam bhagavadam puranam dashalakshanam proktam bhagavada praha pedavutraya bhutakal narada praha munaye saraswatya stade nava dhyayave brahma paramam vyavasaya amida vejase yadudaham tvaya prashto vairaja alpurushadinam yadasita dubakhyase rashna ananyam stakalsnasham Srimad Bhagavate Mahabrane Didiya Skande Namodhyayam Shri Shubhavajam Atra sargo misargascha sthanam bhoshanam udaya manyandaram ishanukatha nirodho muktirashrayaham dasamasta vishuddhyartham navanami halakshanam varmayandhi mahalpanam shugainathena janjasam udamayendriyadiyam janma sarga udahrida janmanomunam ishamya visarga pavishasmradam sthidir vaikunda vijaya poshanam tadanugraha manyandarani saddharmam udaya karma vasanaham Avadarani Jarinam Hare Shasyanuvartinam Sadamishakara Proktam Anakhyanopabramhidaha Nirodhasya Anishayam Atmanasaha Shaktivhi Muktirhitanyadharupam Surubena Vyavastidim Abhasascha Nirodhascha Yadascha Adhyavasiyade Sa Ashray Varam Brahma Paramatmedi Shabdyadim Yodhyalpi Yoyam Purusha Sosavedha Vevadhi Devika Yastatro Bhayavucheda Purushohyari Baudhikaha Egamegadara bhavi edano bilabhamahi Shridayam tudayam yatrayo veda sa alma swashraya shrayaha Purushondam minirbhidya yadasausa vinirgada Atmanoyamanaman nichan avosakshi shudishujim Talsuvasil susrashtasu sahasrabarivalsan Penanarayano nama yadabu purushodbhavaha Dravyam karmajakalascha subhavo jivayevija Yadanugrahadasandhi nasandhi yadubekshayam Ego nanu atu and nichuan, yoga del pal samutira, viram hiram mayam devo, maya misajal tridham, adidevo madhyalpam, adivudamidi prabhu, adayam bhagrisham, viram prada, abhidyadachanum, andashariram akashal, purushasam jeshtida, ojasaho balam jetni, ilaprano mahanasum, anuprananliyam pranam, pranandam sarvajandushu, abanandam abanandi, naradevamigan, ivanugam, Prani Natripada Chutrak Andarajai De Prabhu Pibasadu Jachadascha Pamukam Miravidyadam Mukadastala Narbhinam Jikwada Trobajayadi Tadonana Resojatni Jikaya Yodigamyadim Vivachor Mukado Bhram Bunno Vanirga Vagyuakudam Tayo Jalevaida Susujiram Nirodasamajayadam നാസികേന്ദ്രഭിദ്ധേദം ദോധൂയതി നവസ്വതി തത്ര വായുർഗന്ധവഹോ ഘ്രാണോ നസിജഗ്രക്ഷതാം യഥാത്മനി നിരാലോകം ആത്മാനന്ദ്രക്ഷത നിർഭിന്നേഹക്ഷണീതസ്യ ജ്യോതിക്ഷക്ഷുർഗുണഗ്രഹാം ബോധ്യമാനസ്യ കൃഷഭി ആത്മനസ്ഥജീകക്ഷത കർണോജനരഭിദ്യേതാം ദിശശ്രോത്രം ഗുണഗ്രഹാം വസ്തുനോ മൃദുകാഠിന്യം ലഘുഗൂർവോഷ്ണശീതതാം ജിഗ്രക്ഷതസ്തനിർഭിന്നാം തസ്യാം ലോമമഹീരുഹാഃ തത്ര ചാന്തർബഹിർവാദം സ്ത്രവരാന്തർബഹിർവാദസ്ത്വജാ ലബ്ധഗുണോഗതാം ഹസ്തോരുഹൃതസ്തസ്യ നാനാകർമ്മ ചികീർഷയ തയോസ്തുബലമിന്ദ്രശ്ച ആദാനമുഭയാശ്രയം ഗതിം ജിഗീഷദപ്പാദോ ഉരുഹാദേഭികാമികാം പദ്ഭ്യാം യജ്ഞസ്വയം ഹവ്യം കർമ്മഭിക്രിയതേ നൃഭീ നിരഭിദ്യതശിഷ്ണോ വൈ പ്രജാനന്ദാമൃതാർത്ഥിന ഉപസ്തമാസീൽക്കാമാനാം പ്രിയം തദുപയാശ്രയം ഉൽസിസൃക്ഷോർദാതുമലം നിരഭിദ്യത വൈകുതം തദവായുസ്തോ മിത്രം ഉത്സർഗമുഭയാശ്രയാഃ ആസിസൃപ്സോ പുരപുര്യ നാഭിദ്വാരമഭാനത തത്രാപാനസ്തോ മൃത്യു പൃഥക്തമുഭയാശ്രയം ആദിൽ സോരന്നപാനം ആസംകുക്ഷന്ദ്രനാഥയ മധ്യസ്ഥമുദ്രാശ്രയോ സ്തുഷ്ടി പുഷ്ടിസ്തദാശ്രയേ നിരുധ്യാസോരാത്മമായാം ഹൃദയം നിരവിദ്ധ്യത തദോ മനസ്തശ്ചന്ദ്ര സങ്കല്പക്കാമയേവ ത്വക്ചർമമാംസരുദിരം ഏതോ മജ്ജാസ്തിധാതവ ഭൂമ്യപ്തേജോമയാ സപ്ത പ്രാണോ വ്യോമാം ഭുവായുഭീ ഗുണാത്മാനിന്ദ്രിയാണി ഭൂതാദി പ്രഭവാ ഗുണ മനസ്സർവവികാരാത്മ ബുദ്ധിർവിജ്ഞാനരൂപിണി ഏതൽഭഗവതോ രൂപം സ്ഥൂലം ദേവ്യാഹൃതം മയ മഹ്യാദിഭിശ്ചാവരണേ അഷ്ടവിർബഹിരാവൃതം അതപരം സൂക്ഷ്മതമം അവ്യക്തം നിർവിശേഷണം അനാദിമധ്യനിധനം നിത്യം വാങ്മനസപ്പരം അമൂനീ ഭഗവദ്രൂപേ മയാദീമനുവർണിതേ ഉഭയഭിനഗൃഹ്ണന്തി മയാ മായാ സൃഷ്ടേ വിപശ്ചിതാം സ വാച്യവാചകതയാ ഭഗവാൻ ബ്രഹ്മരൂപദൃക് നാമരൂപക്രിയാധത്തെ സകർമാകർമ്മകപരാ പ്രജാപതീമനൂൻ ദേവാൻ ഋഷീൻ പിതൃഗണാൻ പൃഥക് സിദ്ധചാരണഗന്ധർവാൻ വിദ്യധ്രാസുരഗുഹ്യകാൻ കിന്നരാപ്സരസോനാകാൻ സർപ്പാൻ കിം പുരുഷോരകൻ മാതൃരക്ഷപിശാചാംക്ഷ പ്രേതഭൂതവിനായകാൻ കുഷ്മാണ്ഡോന്മാദേവതാളാൻ യാതുധാനാൻ ഗൃഹാനവി ഗഘാൻ മൃഗാൻ പശൂൻ വൃക്ഷാൻ ഗിരീന്ദ്രപസരീസൃവാൻ ദ്വിവിധാശ്ചതുർവിധായേ ജലസ്തരനഭോഗസ കുശലാകുശലാമിശ്ര കർമ്മണാം ഗതയസ്തുമാം സത്വം രജസ്തമൈതീതിസ്രസുരനൃഗാരക തത്രാപ്യൈകകശോരാജൻ ദിധ്യന്തേ ഗതയസ്ത്രിതാഃ യാതൈകൈകതരോ നാഭ്യം സ്വഭാവമഹന്യതേം സ ഏവേദം ജഗദ്ധാത ഭഗവാൻ ധർമ്മരൂപദ്രൻ പുഷ്ണാദിസ്ഥാപയൻ വിശ്വം തിര്യങ്ങരസുരാത്മവീം തഥകാലാ നിരുദ്ധാത്മാ യൽസൃഷ്ടമിതമാത്മന സന്നിയച്ഛതികാരേണ ഘനാനീകമിവാനിലാം ഇത്തം ഭാവേന കഥിതോ ഭഗവാൻ ഭഗവത്തമ നേത്തം ഭാവേന ഹി പരം ദൃഷ്ടുമർഹന്തി സൂരയാം നാസ്യ കർമ്മണി ജന്മാദോ പരസ്യാനി വിധീയതേ കർത്തൃത്വ പ്രതിഷേധാർത്ഥം മായയാരോപിതം ഹിതൽ അയം ദുർബ്രഹ്മണക്കൽപ്പം സവികൽപ്പമുദാഹൃത വിധിസാധാരണോ യത്ര സർഗാ പ്രാകൃത വൈകൃത പരിമാണം ചകാലസ്യ കൽപ്പലക്ഷണ വിഗ്രഹം യഥാ പുരസ്താദ്വാഖ്യാസേ പാൽപം കാൽപ്പം കൽപ്പമധോ ശൃണു ശ്രീശൗനകുവാചാം യഥാഹ നോ ഭവാൻ സുധാ ക്ഷത്താ ഭാഗവതോത്തമ ചചാരതീർത്ഥാനി ഭുവ ത്യക്വാ ബന്ധുൻ സുധിസ്ഥിജാൻ കുത്ര കൗഷാരവേസ്തസ്യ സംവാദോധ്യാത്മസംശ്രിത യദ്വാസ ഭഗവാൻ തസ്മൈ പൃഷ്ടസ്തത്വമുവാചഃ ബ്രൂഹിനസ്തമിതം സൗമ്യ വിദുരസ്യ വിജയേഷ്ഠിതം ബന്ധുത്യാഗ നിമിത്തം ച തഥൈവാഗതവാൻ പുനഃ ശ്രീസുതവാചാം രാജ്ഞാ പരീക്ഷിത പൃഷ്ടോ യദവാചോന്മഹാമുനി തദ്വോഭിധാസ്യേ ശൃണുത രാജ്ഞ പ്രശ്നാനുസാരത ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ ദ്വിതീയസ്കന്ധേ ദശമോധ്യായം സോ വിത്ത് ദോസ് ത്രീ ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് ദി സെക്കൻഡ് കാൻഡോ കംസ് ടു എൻ എൻഡ് സെക്കൻഡ് കാൻഡോ കംസ് ടു എൻ എൻഡ് ആൻഡ് in the third canto, when it begins, we are going back into Mahabharata again, because it is where Vidura comes back from his pilgrimage, and a lot of discussions happens there. Vidura meets with Uddhava, and Uddhava's instructions to Vidura to go to Maitreya Rishi in Haridwar, and further instructions from Maitreya Rishi to Vidura, all this comes in the third canto. So in second canto, basically what we have talked about is this message that the living entity in this material world, unless understands the importance of karma, one's own activities, and how these activities will bind him to this material world, unless he is careful about it, and the protection, how the protection was offered to Brahma by Krishna by giving Srimad Bhagavatam, and same message to other living entities also, that if you want to get entangled in this world, keep Srimad Bhagavatam first in the hand. And then if you touch anything, there is a chance so that you may not get hurt by the material world. Otherwise, what can happen, as Bhagavatam says there, is that a living entity can get caught up in this material world and eventually no chance of coming out of that conditioned state. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was given to Lord Brahma before the process of creation by Krishna, for the same reason as Vedavyasa Maharshi has given Srimad Bhagavatam to all the people in the age of Kali to take that shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if there's any questions.
You mentioned that Lord Brahma was an incarnation of Krishna.
Yes.
But we also understand that Lord Brahma is Jiva Tapa.
Yes.
So does that not give strength to the Maya body, the personal conception of God?
Yes, as far as the creation is concerned, we accept that just like we are also expansions of Krishna in one sense, that as part and parcel, we are also Krishna's energy. But this Jiva Tattvam and Vishnu Tattvam, this classification is coming only from the point of view that when you understand that, when you are separated from Krishna, we are Jiva. But when you are in relationship with Krishna, as a devotee, you have purified your existence. You are as good as Krishna's qualities are in you, that it develops to such a level that you are, although you are referred to as Jiva, in your qualities you have the same qualities as Krishna to a higher degree in the person. So thing is that Brahma's position is such that Krishna himself, because in the beginning there is only Krishna existed, everyone else has come later, including Lord Brahma. So the first expansion, you can say, of Krishna, or first living entity, what Krishna has created is Lord Brahma. So it begins from there then on. This Jivadatvam, Vishnudatvam is something we have categorized, living entities and different incarnations, into for them to separate us and understand our position from different from them. That's why that difference is mentioned like that.
Why Krishna didn't expand on it if he gave this birth to Brahma?
Why Krishna?
The living entity.
Mm-hmm.
Brahma created the living entity.
Actually, Brahma didn't create the living entities. Living entities were created by Krishna. But what happens is that when the living entity finishes their if you read the devastation process, you will see there that at the end of day of Lord Brahma, all the living entities goes back to him and they join him there, and then they leave him again when the night time is over. So the whole long night when Brahma sleeps, that time the living entities are with him there in his control. And when the next day comes, which is of course a very, very, very long period, when the next day comes, again Brahma starts his creation process. And what that creation process basically is, that he releases all those living entities who have come to him back to their conditioned life again. In other words, this living entity has got its track record with him. He's carrying his record with him and staying with Brahma. And as soon as when the night is over and the day starts, Brahma releases them again with their record. Now you can go and continue with your activity further. That's why it says in the Bhagavatam, Srijyam Srijyami Srishtoham Ichayai Rabi Jodhida, that what I'm doing is, what Krishna has already created and kept in them, all I'm doing is I'm releasing them at the time and accepting them when they come back to me. So in reality, the living entities are actually created by Krishna himself. All what's happening is they are getting different bodies under the control of Brahma. That when Brahma is managing us, we build up our karma, and on that karmic reactions we accept different bodies. But we all mistakenly call Brahma as he has created us, and we blame Brahma for all the problems what we have created ourselves. Sure he does. Otherwise it's not. If it is same like us, if he is also like us, then why should we get liberated? Isn't it? The fact that liberated state means it's a completely different consciousness, complete state of existence. Otherwise there is no point in going through all these efforts, isn't it? So definitely liberated consciousness is different than us. A liberated person knows the truth. We don't know the truth. That's where the difference is. That he knows what is the truth. He knows that he has realized it. That's why we say called liberated, isn't it? He has realized the truth. We have not realized the truth. So we are in the conditioned state. The realized person knows how everything is happening, where it's originating from, things what can happen to us if we are not if you are caught up in this material world. All these things are known to the liberated state. In the liberated state, they are aware of that. Liberated condition is defined in the scriptures as Satyam, Satchidanandam, Satchitan Anandam, eternity, blissful, and knowledge. So he has the complete knowledge of everything. We have no knowledge. We are only reading books and we are talking about it. And sometimes we are speculating also, added to that. So this is our so-called knowledge. But liberated state is not like that. It is pure knowledge. And in addition to that, Satyam is eternal. He is also eternal. He knows his eternal nature. We don't think we are eternal at the moment. At least we are all sure that in a few years' time our eternity will be over. So our eternal nature has no meaning. We have no concept of eternity. But in the liberated state, he is conscious of that eternal nature. That's why it is called Satyam. And it's also he is conscious of Sat, in other words, eternal nature. And Chit, blissful nature. We have no bliss in us. We are only distress continuously packed up. And that distress sometimes increases or decreases according to time and circumstances. So whereas in the liberated state, a person experiences bliss. Bliss means happiness from where you don't fall back again into distress condition. The proper way of explaining happiness is, the word used is bliss is right, because in the bliss means actually you don't come back from that again into a disturbed condition. This happiness what we are experiencing is not considered in spiritual terms as happiness. It's only a different degrees of distress what we are experiencing. Somebody is experiencing more distress, somebody is experiencing less distress. But distress is distress at the end for everybody. So there is no difference in that. So this is not the state of existence of a liberated soul. He is Sat Chit Anandam, Sachidanandam as he is referred to. Which people? Vyasadeva felt that at point that he felt the distress of other people when he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. He felt the distress of the other people.
But he is liberated then.
He was not liberated at that point when he was in that state, when he was compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, it is difficult to say about Vyasadeva, because Vedavyasa Maharshi actually compiled all the Puranas and the Upanishads and other things for the benefit of the human society. And even after compiling them, he felt still there was something lacking in there. That is how his distress came. And his distress is different than the distress what we have. Our distress is all related to our body and our needs. That's our distress. Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress was not like our distress. He was feeling compassion for people like us who are sitting here and worrying day and night, and telling them, thinking that this is what's going to be Kali Yuga. And this is what... So, which shows that his distress was a different kind of distress than what we have experienced. So, in that distress condition, Vedavyasa Maharshi felt like compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, and then further things happen after that. So, it is not appropriate to call Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress as same distress as ours.
Summary of Shadashloki which Brahma gave to Narayana. Make a small conclusion about what exactly he gave to him.
That's that four verses, Ahameva Sameva Agre. It begins at the four verses. Prabhupada has given a very elaborate commentary you can read, and it's quite a lengthy explanation, and you've got to be so absorbed in it to understand it fully. And explaining it also is very difficult.
For Chatushloki, he expanded into 18,000 verses.
No, Chatushloki Bhagavatam was given by Krishna to Brahma. Brahma gave in the three chapters, which is the 5th, 6th and 7th chapter of Bhagavatam to Narada Muni. Narada Muni took that and expanded it and gave it to Vedavyas when he spoke. And Vedavyas took it and expanded that into 18,000 verses. That is how it comes. So, we'll just chant the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shishashtakam, and we will after that stop. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davadni nirvavanam shreya kaikava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipadam purnamradaswadanam sarvatnasavanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida niyamida smaranena kala edadrisham tava kriva bhagavan mamabi durdeiva medrisham ivanavi anuragam trinaravi shunijena karoravi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharim nadhanam nadhanam sundarim kavidamba jagadisha kamaye मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदात् भक्तिरहै दुगि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्करम् परिदामानुषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कज सिदधूले सदृशम् विचिन्तयाम् नयनम् गलदश्रुधारया वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगयनिजिदम् तदावभो तव नामे ग्रहणम् भविष्यति युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगत् सर्वं गोविन्द विरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरतां पिनष्टु माम् आदर्शनं मर्महदां करोधुवा यथा ददा वा विदधा दुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न केवलमातरा नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम्
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम्
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम्
श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वन्नो यदप्रभो नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदा य आदिगवये मुह्यन्दयल् सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितगैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तुशिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परै ईश्वरसद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभि तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిక భువి భావుకా సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేదం అపేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరం ఆజుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారవేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణు కొనితాదృదానందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కావి. నమావోం విష్ణు కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూగలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవిం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరికథోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం శ్రీ గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖ కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. So, last Sunday we were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, the last three chapters, 8th, 9th and the 10th. So, at the end of the second canto, there were some questions were raised by Suda Goswami to Shaunak Rishi. Shaunak Rishi was obviously answering the questions from Suda Goswami in Naimisharanyam. And one of the questions was that earlier in the first canto there was a reference that Vidura had left home and went on a pilgrimage. And since then we haven't heard anything about Vidura. What happened to Vidura after that? So the Suda Goswami, Shaunak Rishi asked the Suda Goswami, when Vidura went, did Sukadeva Goswami or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi mention anything about Vidura to Parikshit Maharaj when he was talking about the arrival of Vidura back? What happened to Vidura? Was anything discussed between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj? This question was raised by Shaunak Rishi to Suda Goswami, and Suda Goswami answered, yes, this was mentioned actually by Sudeva Goswami while talking to Parikshit Maharaj. I have heard that and I will tell you what exactly happened to Vidura. So actually we can see that in the first canto and in the second canto, after Srimad Bhagavatam, we have discussed who should listen to Bhagavatam and who should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the topic that was discussed in the first canto. What type of person should speak Srimad Bhagavatam and what kind of person should listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. These were the main topics of discussion in the first canto. And there we found there were three categories of the of speakers and listeners, starting from Suta and Shaunaka, one category,
Srinarada Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi, another category, and Parishit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, a third category. And we also seen that the difference between each of these three different groups of these personalities, that when it comes to Parishit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, actually Parishit Maharaj intense desire to hear about Krishna and preparing himself for death was the actual reason that Parishit Maharaj is considered to be the topmost listener of Srimad Bhagavatam. By virtue of this one fact alone, that he was inquiring about the most important thing in life, and that is how to prepare for the death. And nobody else has done that. Vedavyasa Maharshi even didn't do that. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, his intention was the welfare of the other people. That means he was suffering, thinking about the suffering of others. That was interesting thing in the Vedavyasa Maharshi's compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. Whereas Parishit Maharaj was sitting here, fully aware that in a few days' time his life is over, and before that time happens, what should one do? And this question was churning in his mind very strongly, and therefore that inquiry is the most auspicious and more the most prominent inquiry one has ever made. And therefore Parishit Maharaj is considered to be the best among the listeners of Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, the person who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam also, like Sukadeva Goswami, is the person who is qualified to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Only by one reason, that unlike Srinarada Maharshi or even Sudha Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami came to the spot to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, uninvited, but knowing very well, because Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munim Anadosmi. In the Bhagavatam it says, Sarvabhuta Hridayam, that he is present in everyone's heart due to his high realization of the Absolute Truth. Because he was so realized, he knew what was going through Parishit Maharaj's mind. So he felt that this is the time I should be there to talk about Krishna. And because he had that strong desire to talk about Krishna, glorify Krishna to Parishit Maharaj, he arrived on the scene. And he came and he spoke, and after speaking about Krishna, he left the scene without even saying, bidding farewell to Parishit Maharaj. This is how Sukadeva Goswami is. That such a personality who is totally realized in the spiritual point of view, such a person should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the three grades of people who listens and talks about, who talks through Srimad Bhagavatam and who listens to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the topic of discussion in the first canto. When it comes to second canto, the topic moves from there to Mrityuvijaya. Mrityuvijaya means how to conquer the death. This conquering death is a very interesting topic for all of us, because virtually, as soon as we are born, it is a race to death. You can see, if you think about it, that virtually all that what we do in this world, eventually the curtain falls one day. And this race goes from the very moment we were born, we accepted this material body, that race begins towards death. And it's running and running, and one day it collapses and dies and goes away from this world. This is the job of, this is the destiny of every living entity. We are so much controlled by the material nature. So in this short